Imagine you have a digital vault, right? And there's thousands of dollars inside.
Right, a serious amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. But the front door to this vault is made of wet cardboard, and the security guard is, I mean, he's just fast asleep.
That is a pretty alarming visual.
Well, it's exactly what your digital gaming library looks like right now to a global network of organized cybercriminals.
Yeah, it really is.
It is June 2nd, 2026. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're unpacking a massive, just really comprehensive new report from Tech & Mag. It's titled The 2026 Gaming Subscription Wars: June Service Analysis.
It's quite the read, honestly.
It really is. We're diving into this crazy landscape where Sony, Microsoft, Epic Games, and, you know, Amazon are basically weaponizing their game libraries just to capture your loyalty. We're talking about unprecedented free game drops, the total collapse of traditional PC game sales, and a massive cybercrime wave that this entire situation just completely triggered.
Yeah, the ecosystem has really reached a breaking point this month. You know, we often look at these massive giveaways and kind of assume corporations are just acting as like generous benefactors.
Yeah, like they're just doing us a favor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But analyzing the data in this Tech & Mag report, it reveals a highly volatile multi-billion dollar chess match.
Yeah.
The traditional retail model is basically being actively dismantled, and it's being replaced by aggressive high-stakes maneuvers just for long-term ecosystem dominance.
I was reading through the report, and I mean, the sheer volume of AAA games being handed out this month is, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It really is staggering.
It almost feels like a fire sale, honestly. But to understand why this is happening, we really need to look at Sony and Microsoft, because the two biggest players in the console space are taking wildly opposite approaches to, you know, justify their monthly subscription fees.
Totally opposite, yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with Sony playing defense, I noticed a line in the report saying Sony suffered a 3% drop in PlayStation Plus subscribers in the first quarter of 2026.
Yes, that's a critical detail.
Is that what's triggering this massive June lineup?
Well, a 3% drop might seem minor on the surface, right? But in the software as a service world, a churn rate of 3% in a single quarter is an absolute five-alarm fire.
Wait, really? Just 3%?
Oh, yeah. You don't just wait and see if those numbers correct themselves.
Yeah.
That loss translates to hundreds of millions in projected recurring revenue just vanishing.
Wow.
So to stop the bleeding ahead of their PlayStation showcase in July, Sony is deploying what we call an amortized asset strategy.
Okay, which means they are bringing out the absolute heavy hitters for their base essential tier. I mean, we're looking at Cyberpunk 2077, Project Orion.
The one optimized for the PS5 Pro.
Exactly, along with Sifu 2 and Overcooked 3. That is almost $150 in retail value just handed to you.
Right.
It feels like Sony is putting on a greatest hits album. It's guaranteed quality, but it's safe. I mean, is this just a band-aid?
It's entirely about safety. Think about the life cycle of a AAA title like Cyberpunk. The massive development costs were recouped years ago during its initial retail run.
Okay, yeah.
So Sony pays a negotiated lump sum to the publisher to put it on PS Plus. They know the game is virtually bug-free at this point. They know the critical reception.
Right, there are no surprises.
Exactly. And they know it serves as a massive retention anchor. They're basically buying guaranteed loyalty without taking on any development risk.
And they are sweetening the deal for the higher tiers, right? The report mentions that extra and premium subscribers are getting a 15-game drop.
A huge drop.
Yeah, heavily featuring the classic Metal Gear Solid archive from the PS2 and PS3 eras, but it specifically highlights that Sony is using their PSSR technology to upgrade these
The
games.
PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, yeah.
Right, I know what it stands for, but what is that actually doing? I mean, why is that a selling point for a 20-year-old game?
Well, traditional emulation often struggles with 4K displays. If you just, you know, stretch a low-resolution PS2 game to fit a modern OLED screen, the textures look muddy.
Yeah, the edges get all jagged and blurry.
Exactly. But PSSR doesn't just stretch pixels. It uses a neural network trained on high-resolution assets to analyze the old image frame by frame.
Okay.
And it effectively hallucinates or generates the missing detail in real time.
Wait, it hallucinates the detail.
Yeah, it predicts what a high-resolution version of that texture should look like and repaints it on the fly. So it makes a game from 2004 look remarkably crisp on modern hardware.
So they are basically using AI to make their back catalog infinitely more valuable.
Exactly.
That makes total sense. It's a very clean, proven strategy, which honestly stands in stark contrast to Microsoft.
Very much so.
If Sony is playing it safe with greatest hits and AI upscaling, Microsoft's approach with Xbox Game Pass seems incredibly risky.
Yeah, they are operating on a completely different risk profile. They are focusing entirely on their day one strategy.
Right. Because for June, Game Pass Ultimate and PC subscribers aren't getting older games. The report notes they're getting Fable 4 on its global launch day, June 15th.
A massive release.
Plus Doom, Zero, and a brand new Forza Horizon 6 expansion. But let's just look at Fable 4. I mean, we've been waiting for this RPG for years.
Oh, absolutely.
The download size alone is over 150 gigabytes. Now, as a consumer, saving $70 is great. But trying to download a 150 gigabyte file on the same day as millions of other people seems like a nightmare.
It's definitely a stress test for the infrastructure.
Yeah, you risk server crashes, you guarantee you'll be dealing with unpatched day one bugs. Why put the infrastructure under that kind of stress?
Because it functions as a massive, deliberate funnel. Microsoft isn't just trying to make current subscribers happy.
Okay, then what are they doing?
The primary objective is to force upgrades to their highest tier. Notice the restriction in the report regarding the base tier, Game Pass Core.
Right, yeah, the report points out that Core subscribers are locked out of Fable 4 for 3 to 6 months. It feels like you're being penalized for being on the cheaper plan.
From a corporate perspective, the base tier is simply a waiting room. A $70 retail game might sell 5 million copies, right? That generates around $350 million up front.
Okay.
But if Microsoft can use the launch day FOMO, the fear of missing out on the cultural conversation around Fable 4.
Oh, right, because everyone on Twitter is going to be talking about it.
Exactly. If they use that to push 5 million people from the $10 core tier to the $20 ultimate tier, that generates an extra $50 million a month in recurring revenue.
Wow.
They are willing to absorb the infrastructure strain and the lost retail sales because the lifetime value of an ultimate subscriber far outweighs a single $70 transaction.
And when you condition millions of players to expect massive day one releases for a monthly fee, it eventually bleeds over. You know, it impacts the rest of the industry.
It does. It sets a new baseline.
Which brings us to the PC market. The sheer scale of what is happening on PC right now suggests the concept of actually buying a base game is, well, it's just collapsing.
Yeah, we are witnessing the final stages of software devaluation on the PC platform.
But subscription wars on consoles have essentially destroyed the perceived intrinsic value of a digital copy.
You can see it clearly with Epic Games and Amazon. The report covers Epic's Mega Sale 2026 for their 20th anniversary.
Right.
They made the next-gen edition of Red Dead Redemption 2 permanently free. Not a weekend trial. You claim it, and it is yours forever.
Which is wild. And then they handed out the full, completed version of Hades II. Amazon Prime Gaming matched that energy by dropping GOG codes for Assassin's Creed Mirage and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I mean, if you just have an Amazon Prime account for two-day shipping, you suddenly have a premium gaming library.
And that leads to the most revealing piece of data in the entire Tech and Mag analysis, the comments from Epic CEO Tim Sweeney.
Yes. I want to read this directly from the source because, wow. Tim Sweeney states, quote, "The era of selling base game copies is over. PC gamers in 2026 expect to receive the core game for free. The future belongs to the in-app economy and sustainable services."
This is a bold statement.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because I have to push back on this. When a CEO says gamers expect to receive the core game for free, my alarm bells go off.
Naturally.
If the game is free, are we, the gamers, actually winning this transaction, or have we just become the product being farmed for data and microtransactions?
Well, the psychology of the transaction is completely flipped. When Sweeney talks about sustainable services, he is referring to the lifetime value, or LTV, of a player.
Okay.
Giving away a masterpiece like Red Dead Redemption 2 isn't a loss for Epic. It is an incredibly effective customer acquisition cost.
Because they're getting you into their ecosystem.
Precisely. Epic pays a massive upfront lump sum to the publisher. The publisher gets risk-free capital, and Epic gets you into their launcher.
So the base game acts as the loss leader?
Exactly. Once the upfront financial barrier is removed, behavioral psychology takes over.
How so?
A player who didn't have to spend $70 to acquire a game feels far less friction spending $15 on a cosmetic item, a battle pass, or an expansion.
Oh, because they feel like they got a deal.
Right. The base game is no longer the product you buy. It is the digital storefront you walk into. The goal is to keep you inside that storefront for as many hours as possible so the in-app economy can monetize your engagement over years rather than just once at the cash register.
It's like being handed a free ticket to a theme park.
Yep.
But once you are through the gates, you realize every single ride, Every bottle of water, every bathroom break requires a microtransaction.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And because that model relies on scale, it demands millions of active accounts to function properly.
But, you know, when you eliminate the upfront cost of software, you don't just change gamer behavior. You completely warp the black market economy.
You really do. It creates a massive vulnerability.
Because if digital accounts are suddenly holding hundreds of dollars in free or subscription-based value, they become massive targets. And that brings us to the dark web fallout detailed in the Tech and Game Security section of the report. The numbers here are alarming.
The correlation between these high-value June offerings and organized cybercrime is immediate and severe.
The report tracks a Russian hacker group called ShadowPass. In just a two-week window, this group stole over 40,000 Microsoft accounts.
40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just staggering.
Yeah. They are targeting accounts with Game Pass Ultimate Active and selling them on the dark web for $5. Buyers are paying $5 to bypass the subscription and play Fable 4.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is how they are doing this. Most of these accounts have two-factor authentication. How are they getting past the text messages or the authenticator apps?
Well, they aren't trying to break through the front door. They are bypassing it entirely through session hijacking.
Session hijacking. Okay, break that down for me.
Traditional 2FA happens at the login screen. Once you successfully verify your identity, the server sends a session cookie to your browser. It's essentially a VIP wristband that tells the server, this user's already authenticated, don't ask for their password again.
Right, so you don't have to log in every single time you open the app?
It's exactly. ShadowPass uses malware to silently steal that session cookie from a victim's web browser. When the hacker injects that cookie into their own system, Microsoft's servers see the VIP wristband and grant full access without ever triggering a 2FA prompt.
So what does this all mean? It's like they just clone the wristband and walk right past the bouncer.
That's exactly what it is.
That is terrifying. And it's not just Microsoft being targeted. The report details what happened to Epic Games during that Red Dead Redemption 2 giveaway. Hackers didn't just steal accounts, they manufactured them.
The scale of the automation deployed against Epic was just staggering.
The security team found that hackers had built a botnet of 100,000 automated scripts.
Yeah.
The millisecond Red Dead Redemption 2 went free, these bots generated 100,000 fake Epic accounts, claimed the game, and stored the credentials.
They just swept it all up.
They are now hoarding accounts with a premium AAA game permanently attached to them, slowly trickling them onto black markets for profit.
They utilize headless browsers and API abuse to execute these claims at a speed humanly impossible to counter manually. When digital assets are distributed for free, malicious actors will always find a way to commodify that distribution.
Which totally explains the massive corporate panic. These companies built sprawling digital infrastructure, filled it with incredibly valuable software, and are just now realizing the locks on the doors are woefully inadequate.
Right. They were focused on growth, not security.
Yeah, and the report highlights how Sony and Microsoft are rushing to deploy enterprise-level security.
They have no choice.
Mm.
Digital game libraries are now holding tangible financial value akin to a bank account. They require equivalent security measures.
Sony is now forcing mandatory passkeys for all users. No more passwords, no more text messages. The report says you physically need your smartphone's biometric scanner, like your fingerprint or face scan, to log in.
Mm-hmm.
Why are passkeys suddenly the silver bullet?
Well, passkeys eliminate the vulnerability of the session cookie we just discussed. They rely on asymmetric cryptography.
Okay, meaning?
Instead of sending a password over the internet that can be intercepted, a passkey uses a private cryptographic key stored locally within the secure hardware enclave of your phone.
So it never actually leaves your phone?
The authentication never leaves your physical device. If a hacker in another country tries to log in, they physically cannot complete the handshake without your actual phone and your actual fingerprint in their hand.
Wow. Okay, and Microsoft is taking a different route, deploying something called Security Copilot AI. How does an AI stop someone from selling a Game Pass account on the dark web?
By analyzing behavioral telemetry rather than just login credentials.
Telemetry? Like what?
Security Copilot AI monitors the physiological and geographical impossibilities of user behavior. If an account logs in from a console in Chicago and plays Minecraft for an hour,
okay,
and then 10 minutes later, that same account attempts to download 150 gigabytes of Fable 4th from a server in St. Petersburg, the AI flags the spatial impossibility of that travel.
Oh, because you can't fly from Chicago to Russia in 10 minutes.
Exactly. It can also analyze typing speed cursor movement, and navigation patterns to instantly recognize when an account has changed hands or been taken over by a bot script.
That's wild.
It locks the account before the black market buyer can even launch the game.
It's a total arms race. You have hackers deploying botnets to hoard free games and multi-billion dollar corporations deploying behavioral AI just to make sure the person holding the controller is actually the person paying for the subscription.
The stakes have evolved. This is no longer just about securing a high score. It is about protecting the integrity of a multi-billion dollar digital economy.
Let's bring all of this back down to the consumer level, because the math of June 2026 is phenomenal. The Tech and Mag report broke down the actual return on investment for gamers this month. Do you have the final numbers?
I do. The economic benchmark here is unlike anything we've seen in previous generations. If you subscribe to PlayStation Plus Extra at $16.99 a month, the June lineup provides roughly $280 in retail value.
Wow.
That equates to a 1,648% return on investment.
And Amazon Prime Gaming, which costs $14.99 a month, and that includes the shipping and the video service, by the way, is dropping roughly $120 in games. That's an 800% ROI.
But the peak value rests with Microsoft. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate at $19.99 a month, factoring in Fable 4, Doom, and the expansions, delivers about $350 in value.
That's insane.
A 1,750% return on investment for a single month.
So Tech and Mag poses an interactive scenario at the end of their analysis, and I want to put you, the listener, right in the middle of it. Think about your own entertainment budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine it's the start of the summer, economic conditions are tight, and you only have a strict $20 budget to spend on gaming this month. But you are lucky enough to own all the hardware, a PS5, an Xbox Series X, and a powerful gaming PC.
A good problem to have.
Right. So where does your $20 go? Do you give it to Microsoft for Game Pass Ultimate, braving the infrastructure strain to experience the cultural zeitgeist of playing Fable 4 on day one?
Or do you go with Sony?
Exactly. Do you give it to Sony for PS Plus to dive into a massive bug-free catalog anchored by cyberpunk and AI upscaled classics? Or do you keep your $20 in your pocket entirely, skip the subscriptions, and just hoard the permanently free titles on the Epic Game Store?
It forces consumers to actively evaluate what they actually value.
Mm.
Is it cultural relevance, curated stability, or outright ownership?
Yeah.
Even if that ownership comes with back-end monetization.
It really does. But before we sign off, I keep going back to that Tim Sweeney quote, the idea that the era of selling-based games is over.
The lingering thought.
It is. If developers going forward know from the very first day of production that their base game is ultimately going to be given away for free,
right,
and if they know their only chance at actually turning a profit relies entirely on designing sustainable, never-ending in-app economies,
yeah,
how will that fundamentally alter the way future stories are written?
It changes the whole incentive structure.
Yeah. Exactly. How does a narrative arc change when the goal isn't to reach a satisfying conclusion, but to keep the player engaged in a storefront indefinitely? How does that change the very soul of the games we play?
That is the real question going forward.
Something to think about the next time you claim a massive AAA title for $0. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.